Whoop.
Can you believe that the man who prides himself during these random streaks of conscious thought and pure rambling, that I miss something? I think I am relatively witty, right? I'll admit it. I consider myself relatively witty. Quick off the mark. Can react to stuff. Oh, there's something, a good reference. Oh, there's a good thing. Ah, you linked that well together, right? I missed an open goal last week. Episode 22 was last week. I didn't start it with a reference to something like, I don't know about you, but it's feeling like episode 22 of the Consistently Above Average podcast. It is literally such an open goal that I can't believe I didn't do it. It's a fumble. Imagine a terribly executed romantic pursuit, right? A poor romantic decision, or a relationship with a woman that you would have absolutely, like, it didn't go right at all, okay? You'd have absolutely no problem if you were to say something like, that was around the time she walked away from me. No one likes you when you're episode 23. Get it? Blink 182. What's my age again? Episode 23 of the Consistently Above Average podcast is here. And regardless of that excellent Blink 182 lyrical reference, I'm happy to report that we're back. Friday, the 7th of February, 2025, Consistently Above Average. I'm absolutely buzzing with the reaction, I have to say, to the last 2 weeks of podcasts. Thank you very much to Dara O'Connell for coming on for a chat last week. I think there's a lot to take from it. I think it's definitely worth a re-listen. I actually think it's worth a listen full stop, to hear what we have to say, to listen to what Dara had to say, to take it in, to consume it, to process it objectively. I'll admit the podcast was long. And what's better than listening to a long podcast is someone could just tell you about it, then you don't have to listen to it. Like, if somebody just tells you what was said, you don't have to waste an hour of your time. And if someone tells you what they said or what they thought that was said, then they can tell you what they thought that was said and they can give you your opinion about it. And then you can consume their opinion of something that that you thought that they said, or that I said, or Dara said. And then they could tell their cousin or their training partner or their neighbor. And then their cousin will let somebody know what you thought was said on the podcast by two other people that they didn't really get to listen to. That's far easier than listening to it. By the way, did you hear Dara O'Connell hates kids? He hates them. Andrew McGahan actually thinks jiu-jitsu should be banned. It's rubbish. Why bother? No one's training in the sport. That fella, Andrew, he's a lunatic. He says get rid of it. He's actually mad into karate now. Hates jiu-jitsu. Thinks we're all shite. There's no... Sure, why would we bother going to training? Andrew thinks it's shite. It's not like he's decided to do a podcast about the sport and continue to do a podcast about the sport because nobody's listening to it. We have reached ears, you'll be happy to know, locally and internationally. And I think, for my own peace of mind, I would like to just re-emphasize maybe the most important thing from the last 2 weeks of episodes. It's that you're all terrible at you. No. It is unbelievable how many people in the country are participating in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Participating is the most important thing. A vibrant community up and down the country. There are so many gyms in Ireland offering the sport in varying degrees of efficiency that it simply cannot be a bad thing in the slightest. Right? The person that is a blue belt that's starting out as a coach that has to set up a spot or take classes because there may not be something in the area. I started taking classes 10 years ago as a blue belt, a no-gi class in Dundalk, so there could be more classes on. I am still not a great coach. So whatever I was then, entirely different. All right. But somebody offering jiu-jitsu more. I've said this quote before. I'm going to say it again. Marge Simpson, when going through a little bit of money troubles on the pod, in The Simpsons, said, well, I could teach piano lessons. And they said, you don't even play the piano. And she said, well, as long as I stay one lesson ahead of the kid, that's going to be all right. So somebody offering to share jiu-jitsu to somebody new or to somebody else or to somebody who wants to train more is brilliant. That is the most important thing. All right? That cannot be considered a bad thing. But at the same time, that doesn't also mean that an element of the sport is not regressing. Regressing can mean getting worse, as far as I know, or going backwards or whatever. But when I used that example, if you imagine it as a, it's not going to be a linear growth, like a smooth up and down. It's going to be up and then it's going to drop and then it's going to low and then it might go a little bit higher and then it might drop, because the overall level in the world is so high at the moment that unless we're doing things to keep in step with the rest of the world from a competitive perspective, we will be slower catching up. In that case, our average median or whatever previously is going to be a lot closer to the worldwide average, and now maybe it is not as close to the worldwide average in a competitive perspective only. However, forget about competitiveness, because I am a huge fan that there are people participating recreationally, training, enjoying it. The guards are training and promoting it and trying to get more guards to do it. The fire brigades are doing the same. The defense forces are doing even more. In the country alone, we have millionaires, multi-millionaires training jiu-jitsu. People who are on the dole training jiu-jitsu. Doctors, surgeons, nurses, care workers, teachers, accountants, business owners, entrepreneurs, tax specialists, scientists, pilots, lawyers, musicians, drug users and drug dealers, all together training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. There is literally no other thing on the planet that could unify so many people, apart from hatred towards this podcast, that could unify so many people together through a common interest. Let's play devil's advocate, okay? A word seemingly unknown to plenty of people. You could say the GAA could bring all of those people together, but maybe the nurses don't like the GAA. Maybe the accountants don't like the GAA. We know the Revenue Commission don't like the GAA, so there's a good chance of that, right? Some of them is not going to like it, okay? You could say, oh, soccer. That unites. That's everyone likes soccer. People like soccer. Yeah, but they hate certain teams, or they hate certain players, or they only follow this, or they only follow that. And maybe the doctors don't like it, or maybe the scientists don't like it. And you could say, right, okay, well, what about rugby? And then you could say, right, but then you remember we don't actually give too much care of what rugby fans think, considering the sport that it is anyway, so let them at it. And even though that's completely in jest, think, literally, think about it. I cannot think for the life of me, outside of the language that I am speaking right now, or huge languages around the world, can you think of something, a unifying thing, that could potentially get as many different people from as many different diverse socioeconomic conditions united than something like jiu-jitsu? Let alone getting all of these people potentially together into the same room, sharing an interest and an activity, and being friendly with each other and getting on well with each other. I heard an unbelievable story from two people of during the electricity outages, where somebody had no electricity for nine days, that one of the lads who trains with the other texted him saying, well, he's still all right, blah, 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 dropped the generator up to his house so his family could have power. These people would unlikely, maybe, well, potentially they would, but like they are only as close as they are thanks to jiu-jitsu. All right. So the fact that, like I said, all these people are coming together, all of these whatever are coming together, I think that this is absolutely brilliant. And we are getting more of that in Ireland on a month-by-month basis as more people join gyms, enjoy jiu-jitsu, get into the sport, want to keep it up and stick at it, right? I gave plenty of examples of these sort of things over the last few weeks. But the one area that I wanted to focus on was in a self-reflective element of how could the tiny minority, myself included, of people who compete consistently internationally get better? How could they get better at what currently was happening? Like my point about how 11 medalists, 9 or 11 medalists from the Irish Open at an adult level went on to do the Europeans, that is a small percentage. It does not apply to the other percentage, the overwhelming majority that are happy and content, joyous, enthralled, enthusiastic, rambunctiously, great word, training jiu-jitsu in a enjoyable capacity for them. And by the way, God forbid the person in the self-reflective manner trying to ask the question of how to get better asks the person that has done more in that area than anybody else in the country in the form of someone like Dara. Great conversation. Have always enjoyed talking to him. Always get something from him. Good chatting to him and stuff like that. And I have disagreed with plenty that he has said and thought over the years. And I'm sure his opinion has changed plenty on different things over the years. Like what he thought he should have been doing 10 years ago is different from what he thought he should have been doing 5 years ago, which is different from what he should be doing now. Okay, so to finish on that, like while trying to hold yourself or it to a higher standard or higher accountability, or just trying to be honest with yourself, where you are at a certain moment in time, it could be positive or it could be negative. That's not to say that it can't or it won't get better in terms of the standard in the country, but it's to say frank and honestly, terrible coffee brand, by the way, Braeburn is better, but it's to say frank and honestly that this is where we're at and this is where we could be at level-wise, and this is how we might get to where we could be to our best potential, all things considered. One of the better examples that I think Dara gave last week on the podcast was a pretty standard competition example that you could see. Now, I had a former training partner who is an absolute merchant of this example, and I can't tell you how many matches he lost from this as a blue belt 10 or 12 years ago, whatever it was, all right? He's on top, he's trying to pass the guard, he sees an ankle, he drops down, he goes for a footlock, he doesn't submit the person, the other person comes up on top, holds the position for 2 points, and then, right? That, let's say it was me who used to do that. In certain circles of the Irish Jiu-Jitsu community, that was referred to as the Andrew McGahan 2. As in, like, that's such an Andrew McGahan thing to do, to give away 2 points for that. Because it happened all the time. Every local tournament. There's Andrew McGahan with a 2 again. Dropping again. Oh, there's the Andrew McGahan 2. You could set your clock to it. Very reliable. Very consistent. Now, thankfully, the person in question, I think they got it out of their system before they stopped competing. But Dara gave that example and how you could have the same outcome, but depending on your perspective, you can look at it in two different ways. If you're a moaner, if you're a complainer, if you like to blame other people for things, and if you want to give off about stuff, you can blame the other guy for stalling. Oh yeah, he come up on top. I tried to break his leg, you know. I tried to footlock him. Like, I was the one going for the kill. Like, I just see red sometimes, you know. I was just trying to finish the fight. Like, I don't really like points. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm just... just going for the sub, you know. That chap was stalling. Like, he come up on top. Like, the rule set, man. The rule set's so shit. Like, the rules, like, I should have been actually allowed to, I should have been allowed to really hurt him there. Like, you know, if I had been allowed, I would have heel hooked him. You know, like, that footlock, like, the footlock was on, like, but my heel hooks are really good. Like, I would have got him with that, and sure. You know, he was just a shite bag. Like, he was just stalling on top, and, like, that ref was a gobshite. Like, the ref was an absolute, ref was an idiot. Like, you know, the ref didn't know what he was doing. Like, the ref shouldn't, like, I actually know what I'm doing. Like, and that ref was there, and the ref should have seen that the footlock was on. The ref should have probably just stopped the match to save your man from being able to walk again. Like, it was just stupid. Maybe I've over-exaggerated that point a little bit, okay? That's the person that's not willing to take accountability, that's not willing to take responsibility. Or the opposite side of that is you can take responsibility for the fact that it's a low percentage move and it's something that's not going to work the majority of the time that you do it. Tactically, it's not going to work and pay off for you. It is not the best idea from that particular perspective. You can learn, L-E-A-R-N, you can learn from it and make sure that you try not to do something like that again in the future. That you are now consciously aware of that thing and you're not going to make that mistake in the future. This is a lesson. I am now an online mentor, a business coach. You can pay me money for this sort of information in the future if you want. This is a lesson that you can apply in everything in your life, and it is not just jiu-jitsu. It has to be down to what state of mind you're in. Are you in an abundance mindset or are you in a regressive negative mindset? Wherever you are, when that particular lesson happens of dropping down for the footlock, you have a choice on how you're going to react to it. Now, stuff is going to happen to you when you're in a bad place and when you're in a good place. And depending on where you are in your life at that moment in time, you are going to react a little bit differently to the same bit of news. Okay? Then we can figure out and go from there. You can harbor and hang on to something with jealousy and stuff like that. Somebody wins something. You can say, why did they get? They're an arsehole. Why did they get that? They're an arsehole. Why did this person get sponsored? Why does that person get to travel to do this? Why did this person win that tournament? Right? We've all been guilty of that in some capacity at some time in our lives. And it may well have been because we stood in a plug that morning and we are absolutely raging. Or you can turn around and try your best to make a conscious decision. Yeah, fair enough. I don't really get on with them, but fair play. They've put in the work. They've done a serious amount to get to that position, and now they deserve that. All right. And a message I received from somebody based off last week's podcast about particular achievements, they did say to me, it's like, no one can be called good and being told fair play anymore. They have to be called autistic, and that can be the only way that they're going to be good. That it's nearly like a disparaging thing for somebody to say that. It's like, did you see your man? Did you see your man? He's got great jiu-jitsu. He's really slick. See your man? He must have mad autism. As if that's the only reason that he could have good jiu-jitsu. And it is insane that it's, fair enough, it's never black and white and very clear. And let's just call a spade, some people are arseholes. Some people can be arseholes. This isn't a movie. Sometimes the bad people win. And that is not only in sport, that is also in life. Chael Sonnen himself has made a ridiculous career of being the bad guy in MMA, being the troll, being the poke funner, and just always seemingly winning, coming out on top, or at least telling you that he's coming out on top. And now, I'm completely rambling at this point. I'm very sorry. But I did just want to say, genuinely and wholeheartedly, that I personally have received or been spoken to or phone calls, nothing but positive feedback over the last couple of episodes. And if there are ways to make this episodes better, please let me know. I'm very contactable. I'm very there. I am online. If you have an idea or some feedback, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what we could do differently, who we could talk to, all of these sort of things. There's no guarantee I'm going to do it, but I'm going to listen to you. I'll hear what you have to say. this is not a, just so we're clear, this is not like an open invitation to be like, oh, you should get this fella on. Oh, get that fella on. How come you won't get me on? How come you won't do that? It's relatively easy to start a podcast. It is really relatively easy to start a podcast now with technology. You can do one. You could do your own one. Get someone on, chat to them, do what you want. That's grand. I have a loose idea of why I'm doing this. I have a loose idea of where I want it to go. I'm not saying that like, oh no, I wouldn't talk to this person or I wouldn't talk to that person. But this is also not like a very open door platform where like, yeah, we're joined today by the, no offense to the three stripe master two white belts out there that are listening. We're joined by the three stripe master two white belt who got a bronze medal at the Brighton Open last week. Can we have a chat here? Tell us what jiu-jitsu means to you, please, and how you manage to juggle training with your day-to-day life. Like, that's not going to happen. But if it is possible, there will be more guests this month. The software and stuff that we used last week for chatting to Dara, very good. It's gotten a lot better. With a few technical purchases, a few tweaks, a few bit of prep, you could do all sorts with that sort of broadcast and stuff. So very, very enthused about that. Looking forward to how that may come about. In other news, there's a very big event in Belfast this weekend called Subculture Grappling. What started as a small idea in a gym to give away £1,000 in an under 80 and over 80 bracket has turned into a full grappling card and a sold out gym and potentially a fire hazard. I think it is going to be absolutely excellent. And I would say if you want to see a bit more of it, keep an eye on Instagram over the weekend. Keep an eye out. You're going to see stuff from that tournament. And I really think from chatting to the organizer that they're going to pull something off that's going to be really well received by the community. However, if we go on the topic that I've just talked about, there is a good chance that there will be people giving off, there will be people complaining, and it will not be received fully well by the whole community. But I believe that the effort and intention, that's what's going to go on with it, is going to be from a positive perspective. They're doing it from a very good perspective of why they're doing it. And like I said, whether you're in the positive or the abundance-based mindset that we were talking about earlier on, hopefully you'll take it that way. I have not been the biggest fan of matches or super fights and stuff like that, social media posters. I think it is far harder to win a tournament. I think it is, like, I've been asked a couple of times in the last few years about doing matches and shows. Thankfully, I've nestled myself behind a microphone for a lot of these shows and events, and I'm doing another job at it, so I can't compete at them. I may end up wanting to do one or two this year, if possible, as I'm starting to feel a little bit more different about them. But the reality is, to me, it's much harder, much more beneficial to try and win a bracket than it is to try and win a match, okay? To go through the emotions and the hurdles of winning a bracket versus just having a match, I think it feels like extra pressure, even though it's only one match. And I already fight with an annoying battle in my head every time I try and enter to win a bracket to begin with. And I did talk about how in the UK, there's so many of these that people are just doing this instead of entering tournaments. That's all good for them. If that's what they want to be doing, plow ahead with it. There's a lot of very good grapplers coming out of the UK by doing that method. For me, you'll see me in a bullpen. You'll see me in a basketball hall. Doing laps, just trying to warm up before competing. I'm going to be at the event. I can't wait to see it. There's a very good under 80 and an over 80 kilo bracket as well, £500 for each division winner. We'll talk about it next week, more in depth on the show. I am going to be sitting firmly on the fence. You're going to hear no predictions from me. I have too many friends competing in both of the brackets. I think that the under 80 division is going to be a lot more competitive than people think. There's a dark horse or two in there, no doubt. There's a favorite or two in there, no doubt. Who's going to show up in their best form? Who's going to show up and absolutely catch someone out? There's potential for upsets and there's potential for domination. I have a crazy idea. I'm going to wreck Gary, the organizer's head on Sunday for their potential future events. But let's see how number one goes first. and hopefully it goes as well as possible. That's the end of the podcast, really. I was hemming and hawing over this, but it is unlikely, for a few years anyway, that I'll get a date of the podcast episode to line up with this particular date. Today is the 7th of February, and that is the day that I stopped smoking weed. 4 years ago today, 7th of February 2021, I was sitting in this exact spot in not too different circumstances when I decided that I needed to, or that I was going to stop. It was almost like a divine intervention, and something changed in my body that made me think, you know, I don't think you should really be at this anymore. And there's a chance that I've told this story here before in the podcast or touched on it before, maybe not in as much detail as I will in the future. Plenty to save for a longer form conversation and podcast, but I would rather do that with a psychiatrist or an addiction counselor or something like that that we could get as a future guest, which may well happen. But I was sitting in this exact spot with the window open beside me, and it was a terrible night. There was wind and there was rain, and I was smoking away, and I'd been playing Fortnite for a couple of hours and stuff like that. Then I was on my laptop. The people in my house were very much aware that I was doing this, and this was something that I was at every single day. And you go through that little battle that you have of a person wanting something better for you and you not seeing what is best for you and them hurting themselves and different stuff like that. I thought I was some lad anyway, great fella. But the wind was going in a certain way that was particularly frustrating me, and unfortunately I cannot control the wind, and it was blowing the smoke back into my room instead of taking it, funneling it nicely out into the night sky and sending it out for the birds to enjoy. But the other window was open. So the other window in my room was open, and it was like creating a sort of tunnel of the wind, of the smoke, and keeping it in the center of my room. At least that's what the paranoid effects of smoking felt like, that it was just there. That not only was the rest of the world out to get me, now the wind was out to get me as well. The wind was getting in the way of me enjoying this, and it was leaving all that smoke in the middle of my room, and I needed to sort it out. So up I get, still smoking the joint, door closed or whatever, thinking that, oh, it's not going to, no one will smell that, it's grand, blah, 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 even though it absolutely travels through doors and through gaps. So I was pushing the smoke towards the windows, moving around my room and stuff like that, clattering about. And I sat back down at my laptop, I sat back down at the desk. The wind and rain had picked up and changed significantly, and now it is coming in on top of the back of my neck, hitting the desk, hitting the laptop, and I'm hunched over. Excuse the pun, in the sense that that was one of the most sobering moments of my life that I've ever experienced. I was sitting there as a brown belt. Got my brown belt in October 2019. This is February 2021. We're in the middle of one of the lockdowns. The Europeans didn't happen in January 2021. We're in lockdown. I was there in the middle of the night, smoking in my room. And when I did sit back down, and this was annoying me, it was like the laptop screen was illuminating everything just a little bit brighter, so to speak. Obviously, MacBooks have great screens anyway. If you've ever used one in the dark, you'll know what I mean. But it was like it was holding up a mirror a little bit as well. I was very aware through the light of the laptop of all of the rubbish and stuff that was around my desk. Wrappers, packets, chocolate, crisps, Doritos, cans, curry chip trays, cups of tea with mold growing on the inside of it, bits of tobacco on the desk, weed from the grinders, the stuff that you use your debit card to scrape together to put into a skin when you're running out and stuff like that. I look around to my left, there's dirty clothes and there's rubbish all over the floor. I can't even see the floor. I was here like a little gremlin, hunched over, smoking a joint at a table, being covered in wind and rain, thinking, this is a good idea. I was thinking, how am I meant to get a black belt? How am I meant to be a black belt if I were to continue like this? Would I give me a black belt acting and behaving like this? Even though that's something that you do outside of the gym or whatever, but do I deserve to be one in that sense? Now, surely the whole point of getting a black belt is down to the skill and stuff like that, and because it's difficult and it takes a long time. But the training element of jiu-jitsu for me was never difficult. I enjoyed it so much. I enjoyed training every day. I enjoyed hard training. I enjoyed being squished. I enjoyed surviving it. I enjoyed going back and forth. I enjoyed the calmness and the clarity that it gave me in many ways. But outside of purple belt especially, completely stupid, like starvation weight cuts to make 62 kilos so I could compete at 64 kilos in the gi. I had not done anything that was tough, sacrificing, hard, challenging, if that makes sense. A sacrifice in the sense of for something to be worth it. I hadn't committed to anything like that. And maybe stopping smoking as at that point to then get a black belt would be the challenging thing. And I think 100% that there is a time and a place for everything. I don't think that starting it again would ruin my life in the slightest. I wouldn't spiral. I wouldn't relapse in that sense. I wouldn't be dragging stuff across the desk just to be able to get one more go. Do you know? I probably wouldn't smoke again and stuff like that, but I've no interest in doing it again. And I think it can be an absolutely great thing for people. There are undoubtedly proven medical benefits through THC and CBD and different stuff like that. But if it's not manageable, if you're not able to manage it at certain times, then in my opinion, it is not for you. And maybe someone is listening to this and they are struggling with it themselves. It can creep up slowly and unbeknownst to you, then it becomes a much bigger thing. And while I did enjoy almost every joint I ever smoked, there is a diminishing returns on chasing something that is called euphoric recall, which is, I would associate so many moments of positive stuff in my life and good moments, good experiences around cannabis and around being high. And I had severely, massively huge, like endorphin experience moments in my life through different live events and different stuff like that, covering mixed martial arts where weed was heavily associated with it. You're not going to smoke the same joint and have the same feeling running through your body and being, having been in stuff as, let's say, me in December 2015, smoking outside the MGM casino at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning after McGregor knocked out Aldo. Do you know? And after covering that event and after being on radio and being on television and doing all of this sort of stuff and doing interviews and whatever. And now you're that age, you're 23 or whatever, you're in Las Vegas, you're standing outside, you think you're the great fella and you're smoking that. That joint is not going to be the same as the one when you're sitting in the dark room with the wind and rain on your neck in February 2021. That is called euphoric recall when you're trying to chase that sort of feeling again. And I was lying downstairs in front of the fire before recording this, and my dad was in the room, and I mentioned it to him what day it was and that, oh yeah, it's 4 years and whatever. And he said, Jesus, that's brilliant. Mary would love to hear that. And I was thinking earlier on when you come back in from the dentist and the hygienist, how clean your teeth were and how she would love to have seen that as well. She'd be absolutely delighted. And it's a week for dates as well in that sense. To be honest, I knew that I had given it up in February and stuff like that. I only realized it was the 7th of February yesterday when I was meeting a friend of mine, and I realized that the next day was that because we were chatting about it. And because I was last with you, I've actually passed 2 years as a black belt. 4th of February is my black belt anniversary as well. And when I sit now and think about it, after oversharing all of those details with you, everything that has happened in the last 4 years, I hold in a higher bracket and a higher esteem than anything that had happened before that, because I feel it was something that I had to do that was worth more than something for just myself. Other people got a benefit out of me doing those things as well. While at the same time, it was very much for myself as well. I have just been thinking about that a little bit in the last couple of hours since having that conversation with my dad. if you are thinking of making a decision and doing something like that and stopping something like that, you are doing it for more than just yourself. All right. Other people are going to appreciate that you're doing it. Other people are going to be supportive of you for doing it. I didn't tell anybody in the gym. I remember at the time for a little while until I was a couple of days after it. I told one particular person, Damien Rooney, one of my closest friends through Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and he had tried to help and offer support at different times over the years where I was thinking about stopping or wanting to stop and I wasn't able to. And he said, I've told you several times before, you absolutely need to do this, but your words don't matter. It's your actions that matter. And I will support you as long as your actions matter. And you better not go back on this. Something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing, but I'll see him in a couple of hours, maybe. I don't know if he's working today, actually. I'll see him in a couple of hours. If I don't, I may call to his house. I'll give him a hug. He's an absolute legend. And like I said, you're doing a disservice to yourself if you're self-sabotaging consistently. And there are people out there who want nothing but the best for you. So you'd be doing it for more than just yourself. They'll be buzzing with you as well. But maybe you're in a position where you really enjoy consuming it and listening to this podcast. If that's the case, if you're having one now or you've just had one, you've had it in honor of me for the ones that I'm not able to have anymore. If I see you on Sunday at the event, I'll see you on Sunday. If not, you'll hear me next Friday. Episode 23 in the books. Enjoy your weekend. I'll chat to you then. Good luck.